Let's continue in our current series, Faith Works.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody here. Everybody who made it into the house and found a seat, and all of you out there watching, wherever you're watching from, so glad you're joining us. Glad that God is here. I know he is, and I pray and hope that, I know he wants to meet you. And again, my hope and prayer is that you have felt his presence today, and he continues as we get into his word. And before we do that really quick, I do want to just throw an update to this service and this service only. So if you were here a few weeks ago, and we can throw that code up right now, we talked about how God is growing the church, praise God, right? And so we went into three services in July, and so that we could have enough seats for people. Look around right now. Just everybody take a look to your left, take a look to your right, all right? Any open seats? I don't know. But here's where we're at. This service, 9:45 service, and we knew this, this is gonna be the most popular service that people wanna come to. More importantly, this is gonna be the service where people are gonna be visiting in. Like, this is a more comfortable service to come. So what we asked was, if you are a River Ridger, which means like you're here, you're an attender, that you've been coming for a while, you're giving, like this is your church. We are asking for 50 families to make a commitment to go from the second service and either attend the 8:15 or the 11:30 service, and that will help us open up more seats here. And it's gonna only get fuller and fuller as we get into the Christmas season and the new year. So we're about a third of the way there, so that's good. So we need about 30, 35 more families and households. Households includes anybody and everybody. If you can make that commitment, you've been thinking about it, please, I'm just asking that you do that. Scan the code. They're on our social media. This is on our social media page as well. It would be a huge help for us, and it would honestly, that would be you serving the church here to make more seats available during our second service. So if you could do that, just asking that you do, scan that code, make a commitment. Again, we're not asking you to do that for a few weeks. We are asking you to make that commitment for the long haul. So if you do that, it would be awesome. Thank you so much for considering that. All right, now let's get to it. And I want to welcome you to week number six of our study in the book of James. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and grab those and open them up to James chapter four. And so we've been working through this book chapter by chapter. And what we've been talking about and what James is writing to the church about is how faith in Jesus should have just these indicators that show that it is working in the lives of Christians. And so we just looked at all these areas of life in our faith, that faith should impact how we see trials and temptations that we face, how faith should shape the kind of community that we ought to be as a church. And we also talked about how our faith in Jesus should help us with our tongue and the words that come out of our mouths. That really in all of this, in every single area of our lives, there should be things that should just be happening going on as a result of are following Jesus through faith. And so today, James is gonna keep going. He's gonna continue with this idea. And he's gonna talk about something today that all of us have. We all use it. Some of us probably wish that we had a little bit more of it, not hair. And we probably wish that we had some back for one reason or another. James is gonna talk about our time. He's gonna talk about our time today. We're always thinking about time, right? We're always checking time. We're looking at it dozens and dozens of times a day. We can't lose track of it because we're really busy people. And so here's how I want to start us today. I want to start us by giving us like three realities about our time, three truths. If you have your notes, go ahead and get those out and get them ready. And because this is three things that I think all of us face, no matter who you are. And then we're gonna talk about these things as we weave in and out of James 4. But let's write these down first. Here's the first reality about our time is that we all have the same amount of time. If you want to write that down, we all have the same amount of time. Every single one of us has 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week. Nobody gets more. Nobody gets less. You cannot buy extra hours. I checked on Amazon, everybody. You don't have to. They don't sell time, okay? Like, because you can't get an Amazon, you can't get it, right? You can't get time. You can't buy it. And listen, no matter how early you wake up or how late you stay up, doesn't change, right? Doesn't change. I get 24 hours, you get 24 hours, Taylor Swift gets 24 hours, we all get 24 hours, right? We all get the same. But if we're honest, it never feels like it's enough, does it? Never feels like we have enough time. You hear people say, there's just not enough time. Like, there's not enough hours in the day. Or like, once you hear people, once things slow down, then we'll get to what we really want to get after. But the truth, here's the truth about it is, see, time doesn't change. Only we can change, everybody. Only we can change. Here's the second one. That believe it or not, we get to choose what to do with some of our time. We get to choose what to do with a lot of our time. And I know some of you are writing that down, and as you're writing that down, you're thinking, Andy, you must be talking to somebody else, okay? Because before I even think about choosing anything to do my time, my schedule's already full. But gang, listen, the truth is, this is the truth, most of us have more say over our time than we realize. All right, and we cannot choose everything. That's absolutely true. I mean, there are things that we cannot skip. There are responsibilities that we have to give our time to, but we do get to choose how we fill in the spaces. We get to choose how we fill in those gaps. We get to choose what takes priority. And so what, in other words, like what I can say is, two people can have the same 24 hours and yet live completely different lives. Like one exhausted and empty, the other peaceful and purposeful. But the difference isn't time, it's choice, right? The difference isn't time, it's in the choices that we make. And here's the third one that we need to understand is that we all have limits. We all have limits. Now, when it does come to this one, our limits are not all the same. Like, I have different limit than you. We all have different, they're not the same. They're different from everyone in this room. But the common ground that we can find is this, that we all do have a limit. Every single one of us has a limit. What I mean is, like, there is a point for all of us where you redline the limit of your capacity, you redline the limit of your ability. And what can happen, though, is if you do this so much and so often, and by the way, I think it's a good thing to get on the red line at times in your life. I think if you're not, then you're probably not getting the most out of your life. There are times where it needs to happen, but if you keep living your whole life at that red line, at that limit, and you don't create space, at some point, you will absolutely stop enjoying your life. You'll stop enjoying your life, and me just saying that hits some of you right now with where you're at in this life. And there are things that you are doing here. There are things that you are doing right now that you're trying to get the most out of life. But those are the things that are actually sucking the life away from what you are saying are the most important things that you would say go in your household or in your life. So let's get into this with this reality, with these three things in mind, right? Because James is going to take this and use this concept of time, and he's going to challenge us all. And by the way, I just want to let you know, I'm in the same boat as everybody else with my time. Like, I want to be challenged by my time. And so he wants to challenge us to think about this. And here it is, everybody. This is what he wants to challenge us with. And it's this: what you do with your time and how you see the limits in your life reveals a lot about how you see the kingdom of God. That's what he's going to say, and that's what he's going to challenge with. What you do with your time, how you see your limits, reveals how you see the kingdom of God. So let's get into this. We're at James 4, if you're there, and we're going to open this up and read in verse 13. Here's what he says. He says, all right, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into this city, this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Well, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. All right, so what is James saying? What is he getting at? Here's what James is saying. He's actually not talking about money. He's not talking about business. He's just using that as an example, because what he really is talking about, wants to get us challenged in, is he's talking about how we plan our lives, all right? And he wants us to see that, listen, all of us, every single one of us, as you are sitting and looking at me, are limited in our time. We're all limited in our time. And because of that, what he's trying to get us to understand is, like, then there is no room for us to live our lives in such a casual, ho-hum way. Like, that there are a lot of us, if you go back and read it with these eyes, because what he's saying is there's a lot of us who kind of operate like this, where it's like, we'll get, like, maybe today, Maybe tomorrow, I don't know, we'll get to it. Maybe next week we'll go do that thing that we're saying is important. Like we'll carry on with that thing we're supposed to do, but I mean, if we can get around to it, right? And James is saying, he's saying, man, don't you really realize that you're not even promised tomorrow? So why are you thinking that way? And then he goes, I mean, what is your life? And I'll tell you, everybody, that's a question that you think and you're like, man, I want to answer. And so before you even gather a response to that question, what is your life? He goes, I'll tell you what your life is. You're a mist. You're a vapor. You're a vapor. Like, you ever go outside when it's really cold? By the way, I love that it's getting cold. Anybody love the cold? I love the cold. I love it. Can't get cold enough for me. Not many of you. Anyways. But you ever go outside when it's really cold and you go, and you breathe out, right? And that mist comes out, that vapor. I love that. But then as soon as it comes, it just goes. And this is the word that James is using to describe your life, that it just here for a little while and then it's poof, vanished, gone. And so he says, instead of all that, then you need to say, if it's the Lord's will, and he's not saying that you need to use some sort of religious like word, phrase or something to attach anything and then you'll be fine. Like, I'm gonna go to the mall if the Lord wills. No, that's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you need to say if it's the Lord will in a way of like, man, like, so then I don't have time to be ho-hum casual about my life. I don't have time to, I got to figure out my purpose here. I got to figure out why I'm here on this earth. I got to get after it. I got to get to the business of following God's will for my life. That's what I'm going to do. That's what he's saying. And here's why. Here's why. Three reasons why we have to think about our time way more than we do, and we have to get to the business of living and figuring out this sooner than later. I'm going to give us three words that describe our lives. Okay, through what James is saying. And the first one that describes our life, if you wanna write this down, is our lives are fragile. That's a reason why you gotta get to the business of figuring your life out. It's fragile, it is unpredictable. Our life is unpredictable. James, I love how he says, he goes, you don't even know. Like, none of us know right now as we sit what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't. And so James is saying, here's what he's saying. And for you to pretend like you do know, that's arrogant towards God. He's like, you are showing arrogance towards God if you live like that, if you believe you know everything that's gonna happen tomorrow. There's a book by a guy named Craig Rochelle called The Christian Atheist, and it's a really good book. And the point of the book is it's talking about that there are a lot of people who believe in God, but they actually live as if God doesn't exist at all. There are a lot of people who would consider themselves followers of Jesus, but they don't live like God really exists. And one way that this happens is through us not thinking that we're as fragile as we really are. That for the most part, most of the time, there are a lot of people who live in a way that shows you don't have the need. You're not showing that you have the need for anybody else to be in control in your life, because it's like, well, I got it all figured out. I know what's gonna happen. I'm in control. I have things in order. And so then why would I need to lean in on and learn from anybody else's perspective, especially God's? That's how people live, he says. But here's the reality for us. And by the way, it's how a lot of Christians live. But here's the reality. For every single one of us in this room, there is not one person here who isn't immune to a phone call in the next minute that could change your life. Amen, everybody? It could change you right there on the spot in an instant. The truth is, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow is not a promise from God. It's not a promise from God. We have to be intentional because our lives are more fragile than we think. Here's a second reason why. It's that our lives are also fleeting. They're fleeting. Again, James says our lives are like, your life is like a mist. It's a mist. Mist in the Greek language is the Greek word atmos, and it's where you actually get the word atmosphere from. Right? So it's just like here for a second and then it's gone. And you know, I know that seems harsh to think about your life like that, but it's actually one of the most freeing truths to know about yourself. And I'm gonna tell you something, like I'm gonna preface this by saying, I'm not saying I'm old. I'm not gonna, so don't tell you, you're not old. Like I'm not saying I'm young, but I know I'm not old. But what I'm trying to say is like the older that I get, the more that I see this is true. I see this is true in my life. Like, I feel like in one blink, my kids went from diapers to middle school, and I know in another blink, they're gonna be driving a car, and in another blink, they're gonna be moving out of the house. Man, time just evaporates, doesn't it, everybody? It does. And here's the deal. We all know this is true, but we rarely live like it's true. We all know that it's true, but we rarely live like it's true. We plan our days like we have this endless supply of them, right? We treat the calendar like it's never gonna run out of pages, but our lives are fleeting. They're here for a second, and then they're gone, right? Are you still, it's gonna get worse, okay? You still with me? All right, I ain't getting any better here. Here's a third one. It's not gonna be a good one. It's they're forgettable. Our lives are forgettable. Stay with me. We'll get encouraging here in a minute, all right? Maybe. Listen, I hate to tell you this. I hate to tell you this. But like humanly speaking, this is not through the eyes of the Lord, but like earthly humanly speaking, most of us in this room will be forgotten. Aren't you glad you came to church today, everybody? Like, eh, so good, right? Let me try to get us to understand this. Let me try to get us to understand this, okay? This is group participation. And I want you to really think about this before you're quick to do this, all right? So I want a show of hands for anybody here without consulting or thinking about it that you can do it right now on the spot, can name every single one of your great grandparents' first and last name. That's 8 of them. Who can do that right now? All 8 of your great grandparents. Look around. Nobody. Listen to me. That's your blood, and that's only 3 generations removed from you. That's how forgettable we actually are. So now that we're all encouraged by this, all right? No. This is kind of sobering, isn't it? Like, it's kind of a sobering thing to think about. But listen, everybody, this is what we need to understand to how to get the best out of this life with God. It really is. This is what James is getting at. So how do we figure this out? What do we do with these truths, with time and truths about our lives? So here's the way I want to put it, and this is what we're going to go after with the rest of our time. And I think this is what James is getting at. Here it is. So how do we approach our time in a way that shows we're living with the right thought in mind? How do we approach our time that's showing we're living in the right thought in mind, right? So what needs to change? What needs to change? Because let me tell you this, and I just want to say this before we get into it. There are a lot of us who want our lives to be changed, but we don't want to change what we do. And I'm just saying, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results. Anybody listen to me out there? Nothing's going to change. And so we need to get God's help to help make the best of each day because our time is limited and we got to get to the business of living for God. Amen, everybody. Come on, everybody awake today, right? We want to get to the business of following God. And if you want that, then here's what we need to do. I'm going to give you 3 things. 3 things if you want to write these down, and it's got to be these things we do. The first thing you want to do is you've got to decide what is important. You have got to decide what is important. Because here's what a lot of our lives are actually defined by, if we're honest. A lot of what our lives are defined by, if we're honest, a lot of it is being defined by not what's important, but by what's urgent or by somebody else. That's how our lives are being defined. And sometimes, here's how we know. See, sometimes all it really takes to realize this is when something like hits our lives at like a threat level, right? Something ever hits you like at a threat level, then all of a sudden you see all these important things that you're doing. And what's the first thing we always say when we look at most of those things? Well, what do we say? That's not really important. What's really important is, what's that list? That should be your list. So can you right now, and have you ever written down the top time deserving things that are first priorities in your life, in your family's life, in your whatever, you know, because you know that doing those things, not a bunch of them, just a handful of them, over time pay off and have big results. So here's the thing. As an individual, do you know what that is? As a family who wants to disciple your kids, do you know what that is? As a person who is saved by grace through faith in Jesus and wants to follow Jesus, do you know what are the top time deserving things on your list? I think you need to recognize, first thing we need to recognize is there is a power in you prioritizing your life, everybody. There is a power in your priorities. Because if you don't know, or if you're just like kind of saying that out in the air and you don't go after what your top values are, here's what you will always be doing. You will always be making decisions, reacting to life instead of thinking about your life. That's gonna be your life, just reacting, instead of thinking about it and thinking of the way that God wants you to think. So maybe for you, one of your top values right now is your marriage, right? Marriage, maybe marriage being strong. Maybe it's your relationship with God. That's one of the top things that I think you should put if you're a Christian. Maybe it's your physical health. Maybe it's your sobriety, right? Maybe for some of you, it's eliminating debt because that's taking you away from what God wants you to be going after, right? So the question that every single one of us need to think about is this. Do we know the top 5 or 6 priorities of our life, of our family life, of our home life, right? So we gotta know what it is. Here's the second thing we gotta do then. Then we gotta make the calendar reflect it. This is very, I know this is like earth-shattering stuff, everybody. I'm trying to be really practical on this, but listen, here's a principle that we gotta understand with our time. Like, you cannot create more time, you can only spend it differently. You know this, right? You cannot create, so don't sit there and be like, oh, if we only have more time, you ain't gonna be able to do it. You can only spend it differently. So a question I want you to ask, and what you need to know this, you can't just wonder if you're right or just think that it's right. Here it is. Do you really know where all of your time is really going? Like, if you ever sat down and tallied up, like, time with this, time in this thing, time in this activity, time in this, whatever it is, do you know where all your time is really going? Because here's what I think. I think some of you may be surprised if you sit down and add up the total time on certain things you're spending it on and just reflecting to see, is this really worth the time? I just think some of us might be surprised on that. So here's just an example. So if one of them is like, I want our marriage to be strong, do you have date nights on your calendar? I'm not asking if you think it's important. Do you have a date night on your calendar where you're away from everybody? It's just you two going, man, that's so important in your marriage life. If that's one of them, that should be on your calendar. If it's like family discipleship, if you're like, man, I want my kids to have a living faith, right? Do you have things in your calendar that reflect like discipleship time with my kids, prayer, Bible, what going, you know, this is a part of it. Like here's what I want to say. Like, you can't just like, contract that out. Like, as a parent, your primary responsibility is discipling your kids and them. You get to model, you listen, whether you believe it or not, you are modeling faith to your kids. Like, the person they're looking to the most to see, hey, that's what faith is, it's mom and dad. And so, like, my question is, like, when they see with what you're doing, they're like, what's important to mom and dad in their faith? Is like, yeah, I see them reading. Yeah, I see them praying. Yeah, I see them talking, communicating with things of the God, right? So if it's that, right? If it's sobriety, like, just like when sobriety, like, they've got meetings on the calendar every week. You know what I'm saying? We got to have our calendar. Do that. And, you know, for me right now in my season of life, I am a husband, I am a father of 2 kids under 13, and I'm a pastor, and that's the order of importance, by the way, husband, father, and pastor. And within each one, I have like a unique ability, wirings that God made me to do those in a unique way, right? Mine's different than yours. And here's what I wanna say. So several years ago, this is a long time ago, when we were first growing as church, like, we were growing like crazy, like, not that we're not growing right now, but we were really growing. And I realized something early on, and I realized this the hard way, unfortunately, because what ended up happening is I was getting away from my ability to be a good husband and a good father for a little bit of a season. Because here's what I was doing. I just felt like I had to keep reacting and responding to how many people were coming, and I was trying to squeeze out everything I could to meet with everybody I could. I just, like, it just kept coming to me to counsel people and talk to people, and I kept meeting, and my schedule started filling up, and I just found out, listen, like, in order for me to accomplish what he's really uniquely wired me to do, the priorities that I would say on top of this, I had to create a sweet spot for counseling that didn't sacrifice my ability to be a good husband and a good father. And listen, it took really good people in my life to show me that, and it took an incredible amount of self-inventory to understand that. And this is why I want to share this example to you with what you're currently doing, some of you, in your life right now. See, for me then, if I go back then and saw myself doing this and meeting with people and talking to people and helping in their relationship with God, in their marriage and their family and all that stuff, like, here's the thing. There would never be a time where meeting with one more person or one more couple, or helping one more marriage would ever look like the wrong thing to do. You see what I'm saying, everybody? It would never look like the wrong thing. And so I hope some of you are catching this with what you're doing, with what you're, like, this isn't about wrong things. Like, nothing looked wrong with that, but I had to choose what priorities were in front of me that I knew God would say, those are the most important 5 or 6 things in your life, Andy. And he didn't want me to neglect anything, but I couldn't neglect those. And that helped me realize, here's what helped me realize, actually. It opened my life up. It freed me up so well, because I realized I could still be an effective in counseling, even though I'm not a counselor, by the way. So I, like, trust me, you don't want me to counsel you. Like, if you, because here's what I do. I'll say, what's the Bible say? Do it. So you don't really need me. There's my counseling for you, all right? And then it's like, did it say, don't do it. Okay, that's what I would say. They're free of charge. But it helped me realize that, because even though that was not my primary wiring, I needed to know when it was good, when it was not good, taking me away from other things. Making sense, everybody? But you gotta put it on the calendar. You gotta put it on the calendar. So you have to know your priorities, and you have to make your calendar reflect that. And I do just wanna speak into something really quick on your calendar. When it comes to your calendar, if you're here and you're a Christian, this is just something, I know you know this, but I just feel like you need to know this. Like, you have got to give God time first, everybody. And here's what I wanna say really quick. Like, I've said this, and you guys hear me from time to time. It's not all the time. I think there are just times where God really impresses something on me for this season that we're in as a church. And that's what praying for came from and all these things. But man, I feel like God, and if you've been here lately, we've really been nailing this home as far as like time with God, time with God. You've got to give God time first. And I just feel like this is the theme that God has given me for 2026 for us as a church. And so listen, you're gonna hear this so often, you're gonna be sick of it. And you're gonna be like, when is Andy gonna stop talking about getting in the word and spending time with God? And I'm sorry to tell you, I'm gonna say that as often as I can, because I feel like this is, because here's what I'm gonna, how you doing? I think there are far too many of us that are not doing this, and we're wondering what's wrong with our lives. Why is my faith so boring? Why am I not seeing God moving in my faith? I just feel like this is what God's impressing on me. So you're gonna get tired of me saying it, but I'm just telling you it's from the Lord. And I hope you can just go with me on that, because I feel like, listen, because here's the thing. God will not help you make good use of your time until you give him time first. Amen, everybody? Just ain't gonna happen that way. Can't happen by osmosis. You gotta make time for God in order for God to make time work for me. This is what Jesus said about it. Jesus said this. He said, listen, don't worry about these things, saying, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? How about practice? And you know, he didn't say that. And what are we gonna wear, right? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father knows all your needs. So here's what Jesus is saying. He's like, hey, I know you're worried about that stuff. I know. Don't think I don't know. And you wanna get that stuff done. And Jesus is saying, I get it. I totally get it. Like, I mean, eating and drinking and clothes, that's all important. I'm not telling you that it's not important, but here's what he's saying. He's saying, just don't worry about those first, because that's what unbelievers do. That's what people who don't believe in me do. Don't do that. He's like, man, don't you worry about those things first. And he keeps going and he says this. He goes, this is what we do. So seek first, next slide, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, those of you who are in the category of fully believing and trusting in God for your life, and here's what he's saying, you prioritize God first. Like, if you put God first in your day, if you put God first in your time, here's what he's saying. If you do that, that's the principle. He's giving you a promise. It's a promise. It's given by Jesus. If you do that first, you give God the first of your day, the first of your time, everything else you need will be given to you if you just are obedient to that one principle. That's pretty mind-blowing, by the way, everybody. And one of the things I say up here, and this is why I feel like God's impressing this on me for this season as a church, and I say this, I think this is something that a lot of believers struggle with and maybe thought about, but then we don't really discuss it much, especially at church. Here it is. Does my life reflect that? I mean, honestly, if someone were to look at my life, would my life reflect, I'm gonna seek God first? I believe it, I fully trust it, and does it reflect that? We gotta put that first on the calendar. Amen, everybody? Yeah, let me hear an amen. Yeah, come on, we gotta do, let's get better at that. How about that? Let's just get better at that, okay? Here's the third one we gotta do. Take a regular inventory. Take a regular inventory. Man, it is always important to do this. Always important to do this. I think like we gotta take way more inventories of a lot more areas of our life. I just believe that. But this one is the one at the top. Like, take an inventory of our time. Just like our finances, we should really know where our time is going. Just to check with our time, check with our calendar, check with our planning and say, does that all line up with what we're saying is a top priority in our lives? And if you're a believer here, I just wanna say, okay, then is God getting what we believe he deserves? Like, is our marriage getting what we believe it deserves? Is our family life, is our family discipleship getting what we deserve? I think the more often we do that, the better decisions we'll make. Better decisions we'll make. Psalm 39 says it this way. Listen, you made my days a few hand breaths. My lifetime is as nothing before you. And this is a psalm of Moses, by the way. Some of us didn't even know Moses. Moses had a psalm. He said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why pray that? Why would we pray that? Because here's the thing. When you remember that your life is short, you start to see what's really important, everybody. You will stop wasting your energy on the things that don't matter in eternity. Come on, somebody. Like you'll just, and then you'll see, here's what you'll see, that understanding your life is fleeting doesn't make your life smaller, it makes it bigger. It makes it more purposeful. And that you start to see, here's what you see, every single day is a gift from God. Come on, somebody. Every day you wake up and take a breath, it's a gift from our Heavenly Father. And you begin to live life, not just reacting to the limits, but living for what lasts forever. And gang, here's what I wanna say. I just wanna say this. I feel all of this. Like as a pastor of a church with I don't know how many people, and I ain't gonna count anymore, it freaks me out, okay? Like I feel it with my time and like the responsibility and the burden that I feel like God has on me. And like I feel it with my time. And like right now in this season of life, Courtney and I absolutely know the tug. Like we've got the practices, we got the rehearsals, we got the drop off there, pick up there, we got home group on this end, we got church stuff all over. And here's what we know. This is the thing about me and Courtney. Like we are very intentional. Like we are very, very intentional, because here's what we know. We sit down and do this all the time because we know, here it is everybody, if we are not intentional, the stuff that we do not want to run our lives will eat our lunch. And we're not gonna have it. Not in my house. We're not gonna have it. I think some of us need to take a stand and say, not in my house. For me, I'm gonna live for the Lord. Come on, everybody. Like that's what we wanna get to the business to, because I don't want any other stuff to take over, because here's where you'll find yourself. You will find yourself not where you want to be. And you'll find your family not where you want to be. And you'll wonder, why is it that way? Why did the things turn out that way? Because here's what I see, and I'm just gonna be brutally honest. I'm just gonna be honest here. Most people here would say that they're Christians. I would say most of us say that. And it's my experience with people, the years that I've had with all of us as a church, that tells me, listen, when it comes to all kinds of things, like I mean all kinds of stuff, right? Here's what I think about all of us, and it's not bad. Like we all wanna just be better at it. We don't wanna be average. We wanna do our best and be our best. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but here's who else sees that. You know who else sees that? Our culture sees that too. And so as a whole, our culture has basically stepped in and said, okay, well, let's just make it easy to be involved in all of it all the time. So now there's everything under the sun for you and your everything to be a part of, get involved in, be on the team of, pay to get better at, right? All in the name of let's be better and mediocre than this. Let's go, let's get after, let's go. Come on, man, this is life, right? And again, here's what I wanna say. In moderation, if it's scheduled right and balanced right, there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, this is what I see, this is what I see. But when it comes to our relationship with God, I think far too many of us are just okay with getting by. And we don't apply that same stuff to our relationship with God. It just doesn't. And unfortunately, it's the very first thing that goes in order to be in the rat race of everything else. And man, we're getting picked off. We are just getting picked off in our faith. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is the good news. This is the good news. You get to decide that. You have the power of that in your hands. You get to decide if you're okay with that. You get to make the list. You get to calendarize it. You get to do it. And I am just telling you right now, without an intentional plan, it will not stop when the promotion comes. It will not stop when the league is over because another one's coming. Then just maybe you need to talk about it. Just sit down and talk about your time and just ask the questions, because I don't think James is not saying stop all of it. He's not saying you're wrong. He's just asking you to ask the question. To sit down and just say, all right, in light of how we're living, is this revealing the view of God, the kingdom of God that we really want to be revealed in our lives, of what our kids are seeing and what people outside of our lives are seeing? Are we looking any different with our time? And again, I think this is at least helpful for all of us to be honest and at least, hey, everybody, at least make the list today. I just think if anything, it would be a great exercise to say those are the things. And you can at least look and say, all right, man, is that getting the best of our time? And do we need to adjust or make a change? And you could just, with your dynamic, like your dynamic is different than my dynamic, right? Like we're all different, but I'm just saying at least like some of us, I'm just gonna tell you, some of us are gonna keep doing the same things and wonder why we're not getting different results. You have the power to change. In Jesus' name, you could change. So here's what I wanna tell you. Change for the sake of your marriage. Change for the sake of your family. Come on, somebody. Change for the sake of your life with Jesus. Change for the sake of your household. Because if you ain't gonna change ain't gonna happen. And some of us gotta let God in, okay? So let's let God in right now. So prayer team, if you could come forward. And I, like I say, like I feel like the, like in this series especially, I think James just hits us right there, doesn't it? Like sometimes with the, and I think with our time, I think that there are some of us here, like you're in that rat race and you've felt the burden of what God is telling you right now. And so I just want to tell you, like with our prayer team, like we're not up here just to stand up here and say hi. We would love to pray for you. Some of you right now need prayer. Some of you need to make a change. And I am telling you right now, just even stepping forward is an action step that they, I don't think you'll regret. So come forward and get prayed for, just to say, man, please pray for me to make a change. Please pray for our marriage to make a change. We gotta change something. We gotta change priorities. So our prayer team is always available for that. And like I say, you can come up whenever you want. We would love to pray for you. So just to make that more comfortable for anybody, let's all stand up. Let's all stand. Let me pray again. You can come forward anytime you want to get prayed for. We'd love to do that. For the rest of us, just like, let us pray. God, thank you. Hey, you don't mince words with our time, and I'm so grateful for that, God. Sometimes it is sobering to look at these realities and truths, but they're still true, no matter how sobering they are, God. And you give us the ability to take control, to take our schedules back. We cannot do it without you, God. And I just feel the need to pray over somebody right now, a marriage, a family, that they don't have to stay where they're at. They can make a change. And it takes courage. It takes courage to be honest with themselves. It takes courage, God, to face you and say, we have not been lining our lives up the right way with our time, and we want to actually redeem this time. So God, redeem our time right now. So I pray that over anybody who needs that prayer, Holy Spirit, I pray you work in them, that they don't just walk out of here thinking, boy, that was a great message, or geez, that was really good stuff, that they actually have the courage to take a step and make a change. I pray that in Jesus' name. And I pray away any work that the enemy wants to do to convince them to just settle with a ho-hum Christian life, man. That is not what we want to be about. And I pray that away in the name of Jesus, that you could give us encouragement today. We love you. Jesus, thank you for what you did for us so that it's possible to do this. And we all together say this. Come on, all say together. Come on, everybody. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God real quick. Let's praise him for what we have. Let's make a change in our time, right? So if you, don't forget to visit Brian Miller out there. Say hello to him. He's got some information on Columbia. Get prayed for. We'd love to help you any way we can. And we'll see you next Sunday.